Chapter 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I've been enjoying this, man. I feel like God's given me a lot, teaching me a lot. And this chapter, now we're going to see a little bit of a turn in the theme, I guess you could say, of Ecclesiastes as we get into chapter 10, 11, and then especially 12. Best chapter in Ecclesiastes is chapter 12. But as you know, those of you that have been here, we've been looking at this book, and this is written by the wisest and the richest man in all the world. And after he had it all, he had everything that life had to offer. He had all the wealth. He had over 1,000 women. He had all the money, all the power, and all the wisdom God could possibly give a man. And he writes probably one of the most depressing books, if not the most depressing book in all the Bible. He writes about life under the sun and just the unfairness and the agony and the pain and the ups and the downs and the disappointments and all the rest of that that you go through living in a sinful world. It's a part of life. And this guy made it to the very top. He made it to the pinnacle of anything and everything any human being could possibly want. And he was just as miserable as the poor people, as the people that never were successful, as the people that failed all the time. And that goes to show you, this book, Ecclesiastes, will go to show you what's really important in your life. And let me just say it while I'm at it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's knowing Him personally. It's realizing that when you die and they kick a little dirt in your teeth and you start to rot down there 6 feet under and the world just goes on, the sun comes up, the sun goes down, world keeps going on, a few people cry about you, the vast majority of the world has no idea you ever were here or that you ever left and doesn't impact them. Is that not gruesome? That's pretty brutal. I'm not trying to be mean and insensitive, but that is the fact. The vast majority of the over 7 billion people in the world won't even know I ever existed when I'm dead. That's pretty rough. It shows you the vanity of life under the sun. And throughout this whole book of Ecclesiastes, he's talking like that. And he was somebody everybody in the world would have known because he was leading the world's superpower at the time. He was the guy on top. And he still said, it's pointless. Now, he's getting down to kind of the where the rubber meets the road. And now after nine very depressing chapters, he's going to start bringing it, kind of wrapping it in to what we take away from the fact that life under the sun is vain, that the world is unfair, that a lot of things happen that just don't make sense and that hurt and that just don't add up. He's going to start bringing a point to this whole book, so you can't miss these last three chapters. You got to get a hold of what he's teaching. Starting in verse number one, he says this, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then he must put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. So much for breakfast is the most important meal of the day. You've been told a lot of things that aren't necessarily true. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the house of the hands the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. What we're going to look at in this chapter is we're going to look at three different things about being a fool. We're going to see a fool in the world or a fool in the way. I want you to be able to recognize a fool when you run into one. We're going to see a fool at work. You'll run into him at work, I promise you. We're going to see a fool in the White House. I did that for the sake of having W's. I'm not talking just about the White House. It's going to show you a fool in politics. That would be social influence and political leadership. And then you're going to see a fool in the walls of your house. Ouch. That's going to hurt. What I want to show you is it starts in verse number 1, and the point is not just to be able to recognize a fool on the outside. The reason I want you to recognize a fool on the outside is not so you can become judgmental and self-righteous and super spiritual. The reason I want you to recognize a fool on the outside is so that you don't become influenced by that foolishness and see it cropping up in your own life. I mentioned this to you on Sunday, and it's absolutely 100% true. I will repeat it. Nowadays, even born-again Christians who are believe the Bible and study their Bible have been very influenced by the world in the way that you think, in your thought patterns. You have been so tuned in on social media and with smartphones and text messages and phone calls and internet and the news that you have been programmed to think a certain way, and your mind runs naturally in those grooves. Everybody talks about being independent and thinking for themselves, and nobody does that. So as a result, we have to be very careful that the foolishness of this world does not move into our lives and into our thought patterns. Can I say this? You live in a very miserable society. People are not happy anymore. We're being literally drugged by technology. I have a smartphone. Relax. It's okay. We're not going Amish, none of that stuff. But I'm telling you, people are literally drugged by technology. And their whole worldview is based on something that's not even actually there or present. Nobody enjoys their own life because they're comparing their life to everybody else's all the time. And everybody's showing you only what they want you to know on social media. Your ex doesn't go on there and post pictures of themselves crying because they're so miserable because you're gone. No, they're going to snap a selfie of their first date to rub it in your stinking face. And you walk away thinking they're so happy and I'm over here crying. See that? Your brain's getting warped by this stuff and your thought process is getting messed up and your joy is getting robbed. Your mind isn't clear anymore. You can't enjoy your life anymore because you live in a foolish world that is governed by foolish things, foolish thoughts, and vain motives. You got to divorce yourself from that stuff and recognize that God has a plan for your life and that a little bit of foolishness in the Christian's life goes a long way. A little bit of foolishness goes a long way. Look at verse number 1. Dead flies caused the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. The ointment of the apothecary was a holy thing in the Old Testament. It was a special anointing oil that God had them put together that was to anoint the furniture in the tabernacle, the furniture of worship to the Lord. And it was not to go upon man's flesh, but Aaron and the priests were to be anointed, Aaron and his sons were to be anointed with it when they had been sanctified to go into a holy place to worship the Lord. It was something very holy, and it was a sweet incense to God. It was something that smelled good to the Lord. It was something that everybody else recognized, not the spices that were in it, and the way it was all put together, that anointing oil would fragrance the whole house. It was something that when you walked in, how many of you guys ever come home from work starving, or gals, however, you know, whatever, I know what the day and age we live in, you can't be too, all right? Walk in the door from work, and lady, or ma'am, your husband has an apron on, and the house just smells wonderful. When he's cooking, it smells like something burnt. And the smoke alarms are going off and all that stuff. So let's just be realistic. How many of you guys walk in from work starving and she's got a meal on and it smells super good? You know that feeling? And you're starved. You walk in, man, does that make you happy to be home? Oh, the place smells so good. You know what the Lord wanted in the tabernacle when his people came in to worship and where his presence was? He wanted a sweet savor. He didn't want that nasty, raunchy, disgusting smell of sin in the tabernacle. So what he's saying here is when some dead flies get in the ointment of the apothecary, what happens to the ointment? It stinks. Dead flies can cause something very holy and very sweet to smell. You know what's not fair, Christian? You're human, but once you name the name of Jesus Christ and you let people know that you're a Christian, you're a Bible believer, the first time at work you slip and hit your thumb with a nail, you know what I mean, right? Thank you. See, Mary's got my back. First time that happens and the wrong thing comes out of your mouth, man, they can talk about anything they want all week long. Vileness in public, vile. They can talk about whatever they want and it's okay, but the first time you slip and say something, what'd you say? And you want to know what? That's actually fair. Because you named a name that's above your name. You said he made a change in your life. You said you're a Christian. You said you're separated unto him. That doesn't mean you're not human. You and I know that. You and I know, you know, when you slip and slam your finger in the car door and that thing comes out of your mouth and you look and your little kid's standing there like, what'd you say, Daddy? You get my point? They know you for one thing and know who you are and recognize your standard and recognize that you're given to the Lord and recognize you're a clean living, holy guy, feel safe around you, feel like they know who you are and know your character, and one little dead fly can spoil the whole thing. That's tough, ain't it? You know what he's saying? Look at the verse. So doth a little folly, him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A little folly. That verse right there scares me. You want to know why? I get up here every week, three times a week, and I open the Bible. And I say, let's get in the book. Here's the words of the Lord. I studied. The Lord taught me some things this week. I want to give you what God's given me. And it just takes a little bit of stupidity and a little bit of foolishness for me to make what I represent look bad. So I'm not trying to hold us to an unrealistic standard. I don't think I've ever presented myself as being Mr. Perfect. Can I get a witness? Have I? Okay, and I don't want to ever do that because I'm not, he is. Amen? I'm preaching Christ, I'm not preaching Mike. But I also realize the seriousness of what it is that I'm doing. I also realize there's some expectations of me as a Christian, as a pastor. There's a standard of me, and there's something about my life that ought to smell of something sweet. There's something about my life that ought to actually represent and make my Lord happy. And those that get near me ought to say, there's something about him that's a little different. He's just as human as I am, but there's something about him that's a little different. And I recognize that if I allow a little bit of foolishness in my life, that little bit of foolishness can make my reputation, my testimony, stink. It can cause somebody that was listening to some of what I might say that may be a blessing because it's coming from the Lord, maybe a help. I might cut somebody's ears off to where they can't hear me anymore because of my mistake. I don't want that. I don't want to allow a little bit of foolishness in my life. I don't want to make myself stink to God. I don't want to make myself stink to my wife. She loves me no matter what, man. I come in from working in the yard and she loves me anyhow. But I don't want to kiss you right now. Let me get in the shower first. Why? Because I'm really worried about her opinion of me. I don't want to stink to my wife. I don't want to stink to my little girls. I don't want to stink to you. But more importantly than any of that, I don't want to stink to God. So in this chapter, I personally got a lot of help in looking at what folly and what foolishness is. The first thing I want to look at, we'll probably just get through this point tonight, and we got like three more for the next time. But I got to notice in what a fool is in the world. Notice it is your heart that determines your direction. I will say that again. I want to make sure you got it. Your heart determines your direction. Wisdom has nothing to do with your intelligence quotient, okay, your IQ. I don't care if you got a below average IQ, you can still get wisdom. Wisdom is something that comes from God. Wisdom comes because somebody decides they want wisdom. Somebody sets their mind and their heart to get wisdom. And they begin to ask God for wisdom. And they get in their Bible and they try to find out what wisdom is. And they begin to make that application to their heart and their life as the Holy Spirit teaches them. So wisdom has nothing to do with your IQ. There's some very, very intelligent people that have absolutely no wisdom at all. They will frustrate you. They will belittle you. How many of you have ever been in one of those arguments with the smart guy? Yeah, man. And what is he going to do? The whole time he's going to cut you off. He's going to make you look stupid. He's going to talk you down. He's going to just bowl you over and just laugh and mock. And he's joking, of course. You know, oh, you're just a little dummy. I'm just kidding. I want to throat punch him. Sorry. I can't stand that stuff. Just because a guy's got all that IQ doesn't mean he ain't a fool. What is wisdom? Wisdom is something you get from God, but you don't get it unless your heart is for it. Look at verse 2. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. It's using the right hand being like the right direction and the left hand being as if you're going the wrong way. And he's saying a wise man's heart is at the right hand. That's the hand of strength. That's the proper direction. You know what? You and I need a heart for wisdom. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. You're in Ecclesiastes. Go back just a little bit to your left and you'll find the book of Proverbs. Chapter 12. Psalms, Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes. Proverbs chapter 12. Look at verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Now, if you're a fool, you're going to always justify yourself about everything. What you do and how you do it and why you did it and the way you do it is always the right way because you're a fool. Your way will always be right, and you will always self-justify. You will always self-defend. You are proving that you are walking the way this world walks and that you are a fool. Because you want to know something about every last one of us in this room, myself included. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? God loves everybody. Where do you find that in the Bible? You heard that preaching, you've heard that in churches, and you've heard that in religion, but you can't give me a verse on that God loves everybody. I'll show you one that they'll use on you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. That is past tense. You think God loves people that deny the sacrifice of his son? What kind of love is it to put somebody in hell for eternity? Come on, you tell me that's love? I'm going to put you in hell for eternity. You're not getting out. That ain't love. You ever see the verses in the Bible about God's hatred? God so loved. You want the love of God, you go find it at the cross. If you have never been to the cross of Calvary and found out what Jesus Christ is, what he did and what he'll do for you, and accepted God's gift of love, which is Jesus Christ, at that point you get his love. If you've never done that, you don't have his love. That's how sinful you and I are without Christ. And now you're going to tell me that sinful people like that and those of us still in the body, he said, don't put the anointing oil, the ointment of the apothecary, do not put it on man's flesh. What are you still in, Christian? If you're saved, what are you still in? You ever notice that you still keep getting older even though you're born again? And that eventually you have a date with death, everyone in this room? Why? Because your flesh is still sinful. You're going to get a new body. The Bible teaches that. Your soul is not, your soul is secure. Your soul ain't getting any older. Your soul, your spirit, they're the Lord's. They're eternal. You already started eternity. But your flesh is getting old. You ever talk to an old person who says, in my mind, I just still feel young, but in my body, I don't. I watch Brother Mike ride his bike to church all the time. I'm thinking, man, I hope I'm like, you did 20 push-ups out here last summer, something like that. He's 65 years old?
Yeah, 66.
66, excuse me. He's 66 years old.
67 in December.
67 coming up. Doing push-ups in front of the church and riding his bike to church. I mean, his spirit still thinks he's 20. Well, if you're saved, it's eternal, but that body you're in, it's still sinful. You can't forget that. And that sinful body is always going to be prone to foolishness. So a wise Christian recognizes that danger and puts his heart to wisdom and not to foolishness. So he realizes, you know what, I mess up sometimes. And when I mess up, I need to course correct so I don't live like a fool. Proverbs 12:15, but he that hearkeneth unto what? He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Folks, we got this generation nowadays, especially the younger crowd. I'm not harping on you folks that are old enough to be my mama and my grandma. But this younger crowd nowadays, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear you're kind of handling that wrong. You need to change. You need to recognize what you're doing wrong here. They don't want counsel. I'm already working with my kids on this, and I'm going to be working on this younger generation on it. And as these kids get older up into the teen years, some things are going to change. We're going to work on some of this stuff. Don't get your counsel and your advice from your peers. That's stupid. Why? We're at the same place in life. Let's make the same mistakes together. Your friend's a train wreck, and so you're going to go to the train wreck and ask the train wreck how you can be as messed up as them? What's wrong with you? Keeping up with the Joneses. Got to be where all your friends are at. Got to do, well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? Well, I think, well, you know what? I just think that's, get away from the fools, man. Listen to good counsel. Counsel that might even cut. Find a counselor that loves you more than they love themselves. Here's how you'll know that. They'll tell you things that will make you mad at them. And they will tell you anyways because they care about, not in a mean, condescending spirit. They care about you and they want to help you. And it is hard for somebody when they care about you to tell you things that are critical of you because they know your nature and they know your pride and they know the chances are they just lost a good church member, a good friend, a son, a daughter. They just lost a relationship. But a good counselor and a wise Christian will go for that counselor, and a good counselor will tell you what you need to hear to help you. But a fool, he don't want it. I'm right. I got it. Can you believe it? I can't. He just doesn't understand. Well, he just don't know. Okay, man. Then go your way. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 7. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. God's trying to tell you, first of all, you ought to fear God. Secondly, you ought to have the wisdom to look for wisdom and instruction. I have begun to realize as I'm not old, but as I'm getting older, I'm recognizing that not everybody is foolish because they're just an idiot. That's how I used to. It used to be just that easy. Everything was black and white to me. And it was like, if you're a fool, you're an idiot. Easy enough. I've come to realize that's not true. You especially live in a generation of people that are biblically illiterate. They haven't been taught the Bible. The preachers aren't teaching the Bible anymore. And when they do teach the Bible, you got like two different options in church. If you want to get Bible teaching, you go and you sit down to a little theological discourse.
our God is an awesome God. He's a sovereign God. Let's talk about the sovereignty of God.
The men are falling asleep. The women are like, oh gosh, I got to get through this. But I do love God and I do want to learn. But oh my goodness. You either got that or you got them using the Bible to manipulate people as a self-help and just get you all encouraged, make you feel all good about yourself. Everything's cool. Love, love, love. What's good? Let's go. And we're all happy. Sugar-coated. Those are your two extremes. Where do you find good biblical instruction that is actually going to be like, ouch, because that just applied to me like now? That just applied to my marriage? That just applied to the way I treat my kids? That just applied to my job? Ow, don't be making the Bible apply like that. You're making me uncomfortable. Can I just tell you that sometimes that uncomfortable feeling inside of you is the Spirit of God convicting you? That's a good thing. Look, when you go home and you're like, hey, I'm just like, I can't sleep. I'm tore up. I need to get saved. You just proved you're not a fool. You just proved that rebuke and that chastisement of the Holy Spirit saying, I'm not right with God. I'm not saved. I don't know where I'm going when I die. That feeling in your gut, the Holy Spirit dealing with you, when somebody responds to that, that is the first step towards wisdom. That was fear of the Lord, fear of hell. Preachers won't give you that anymore. And it's the beginning of wisdom when you follow that thing. Folks, that same thing applies in your instruction. People aren't getting instructed nowadays. They don't really get biblical instruction in their life. And therefore, some fools are slap fools because they just don't know. Can I tell you the worst kind of fool? The worst kind of fool is one that's been given instruction and they don't want to listen. To whom much is given, much will be required. You guys, there's a blessing with raising your kids in church, and there's a curse that comes with it too. The blessing is, if they'll have a heart to truth, they'll go real far in life. The curse is, if they don't have a heart for it, they are highly accountable, and they're in a big mess, and a fool that's that foolish could be unsalvageable outside of a miracle from God. That scares me. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's more in the Bible than just spiritual wisdom, knowing your Bible. It's instruction in your life. It's how to put it together. It's the instruction manual. This goes here and that goes there. Let me say this and I'll move on. God is a God of order. Did you hear me? Things have to be in the proper order. You live in a generation that gets everything out of order. They're like, well, you're supposed to test drive the car before you buy it. So that means we need to live together and make sure we're compatible before we get married. Because why would you marry somebody and promise the rest of your life if you've never lived with them to be sure it's going to work out? Out of order, not God's way. And you can see what that's brought to our society. When people did it the old school way, it lasted. Nowadays, it's a mess. They can't see it. Now, to be fair to them, a lot of them have never gotten the instruction. This ain't the 70s, folks. When there was a big rebellious movement going on in our country, but there was also a huge Bible presence. So people nowadays don't know. We're here to help them. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, keep your finger in Proverbs because we're going to go back. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, a fool in this world, watch it. Yea, also, when he that is a fool, verse 3, walketh by the way, that's the fool in the way or the fool in the world, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. How do I know a fool in the world? It's easy to spot them. Why? They'll tell you. It will come out of their mouth. Now don't forget verse 1. You're supposed to not be a fool. So let me ask you a question, and this is the point I'm going to leave with you tonight, and we're going to go here in just a little bit. What comes out of your mouth? I sure hope it ain't foolishness. Because although you're anointed with the ointment of the apothecary, keep getting that backwards, man, I'm a mess tonight. Even though you're anointed with that holy oil, because you're saved, a little dead fly can make you stink, not only to God, but to this world. So how does that show in their mouth? Go to Proverbs chapter 9. We'll run a few references on the fool's mouth and how to spot one. You'll know, and I don't want to let you forget, as we're going through here and spotting a fool in the world so we know not to allow them to influence us. Are you with me? We want to also be doing a little bit of a gut check and saying, God, is that me? And if you're wise, here and there, when we go through all these verses, I 100% guarantee every person in this room something. By the time we're done with this study, if you're asking, the Lord is going to show you somewhere where there's a dead fly in your ointment. Including your preacher. I'm not talking down to you. Including me. I know there's dead flies, and I want to be wise. I don't want to be a fool. I want to smell good to God. I want to smell good to you. I want to smell good to the people in this lost world that know me. I got a growing group of people that call me Pastor Mike. And I'm not their pastor, and they don't come to my church, and they're not even born again, but my name is Pastor Mike. That scares the fire out of me. Because you relax, and you get familiar, and you get to know them, and you start allowing yourself to just forget about stuff and start acting the fool sometimes, because your flesh is prone to it, and so is mine. So let's look at these things and ask God if any of this is us. Proverbs chapter 9, and look at verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. The word clamorous, what is that? It's speaking and repeating loud words. Noisy, loud, turbulent, complaining and importunate, demanding. Importunate means not giving up. Demanding. She begs, pressures, and insists. He said, a foolish woman is clamorous. She runs her mouth and runs her mouth and runs her mouth and wears them down and wears them down and wears them down until she gets what she wants. Ouch. You know what you live in a world of? Clamorous people. Parents, train your kids not to be clamorous. Not to nag you and nag you and nag you and nag you until you give in or crack. No should be no. You can ask me 100 other ways, manipulate me, try to twist the situation, and kids will do that. They're sharp, and they're a lot smarter than their parents. Than you think they are. Don't let them do that. You're teaching them, especially when you say no the first time, no the second time, no the 10th time, and yes the 12th time. And then you wonder why they're nags. What's the matter? You say no and you feel bad for saying no. So then you change your mind and you say yes. Can I get a witness? How would I know? Might have done it. And then they learn, if I'm just persistent enough, no might not be no. And you train them to be clamorous. And then you say, okay, honey, go get married and bring me some grandkids. Hope you have a happy, healthy, long-lasting marriage. We'll get to that when we get to the home part. A fool's mouth is known by their clamorousness. Anybody know anybody like that at work? They'll be the first one to badmouth the boss and run their trap and run their trap and run their trap till they get what they want. Get away from them and don't pick up on their bad behavior because it'll make you a fool. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse 8. I know this is really inspirational stuff, sorry. I didn't write it, God did. If I wrote it, it would read totally different. It would read like a man would write. Men don't write like this. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. A fool is known, they'll tell you, it'll come right out of their mouth. How? Well, they're not going to walk up and say, I'm a fool. You'll know because they say, that guy's clamorous. He don't stop. He don't shut up. He's always talking about foolishness. And everything that's coming out of his mouth is like dumb stuff that doesn't matter. Look, we can sit and fellowship, but there comes a point where our sitting and talking will only cause what? Come on. It's only going to cause trouble. I'm all for fellowshipping, man. I'm good with it. But I realize there comes a point where it's time to go. Why? Because from here, all that's going to come is foolishness. And I don't want to hurt nobody. I'm done with losing church members, man. I'm done with it. As far as my emotions are concerned, no. Now, I know that's going to continue happening, and I'll keep preaching, and I'm not going to stop preaching to keep people, praise God. But I have no desire for that. You know what I know? Too much clamor, too much blah, 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 blah. John Wesley was said that he wouldn't go beyond 10 minutes with any one person. They'd come to him for counsel, and he'd say, all right, you got 10 minutes. Because he said, anything after that, sin comes out of it. You know what he knew? He knew nature. He knew human nature, and he knew talk. And a lot of people like to just talk, 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 talk. I'm a talker, if you haven't noticed. I could preach for 4 hours without stopping. You'd be sleeping and I'd be ramped up. You know what I've had to learn in my life? To shut my stinking yap. Because most of what's coming out of my mouth doesn't help anybody and doesn't get anybody anywhere. It doesn't improve nothing. It only hurts relationships. It doesn't help them. So it's a clamoring mouth. It's a prating mouth. Prating means the same thing. Trifling talk. Talk without weight to little purpose. Anybody have those conversations? Without weight. When somebody is saying something that's helpful. Now listen, guys, please don't become weirdos on me and not be like, when I say, hi, how are you today?
Good.
Good? What's going on? You've been here for 10 years and I asked you how you're doing. How was your week? Fine. I don't want pastor to think I'm unspiritual. Relax. We can breathe a little bit, okay? Relax. But you live in a culture that's all about trifling, prating, clamorous words all the time. Look, this instant messaging and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and the feeds that go on and all the stupid comments and the wars. You guys notice how often wars break out on your Instagram or your Twitter or your Snapchat or I don't know, whatever else you do. You guys notice how often garbage breaks out on that stuff? If it needs to be said, you know where I'm at. You all know where I live. Don't show up at my house to fight me, okay? Wait, come here and fight me, please. You know, I've had that happen before. We'll fight here, all right? Leave my family in peace. You might get the real bad side of me. But look, people will say all kinds of stuff hiding behind a piece of technology from the safety of their living room they won't say to your face. You know what they are? They're fools. That is prating. It is clamorous. It is pointless and senseless talk. You don't need to know what's going on in everybody's life. Why? Tell me why. Why do you need to know what's going on in their life? What difference does that make to your dinner? To your carpet that needs vacuumed? To your windows that need wiped? To your job? To your clothes that need to be folded and put away? To you and your spouse and the day that they had and how they're doing and their burdens and their concerns and their joys and their thoughts. If you're that bored and you want to talk, grab your wife's hand and go for a walk, bro. It ain't all the women nowadays. And if we aren't leading with the right example, what in the world do we expect of anybody else? That stuff, it blows me up, man. And it causes so much damage to you. Even if it doesn't affect the church, it affects you and your home and your children. It's foolishness. Next verse. We're almost done. Hang with me. Proverbs 10, look at verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Ooh. You ever slander somebody? You ever get around people that do? What's a slander? Oh, you know what it is. It doesn't have to be a direct attack. It can be just sort of an undermining comment. Well, I don't know why she's like that. Well, what's wrong with her? That's slander. You know what the Bible says? You're a fool. Why? I'll tell you why. I'm still in the process of learning this myself. But look, for every one thing I can find about somebody else, they can find something about me. And I like it when people are nice to me in spite of me. I like it when people love me and they know my faults. Don't you? So why is it that you're so ready to attack somebody else's character and undermine their reputation and make people think bad of them? That shows you're a fool. And we're going to see when we get down to the end of this chapter, it goes around. It comes back. They find out. And there's an evil spirit, a demonic spirit involved with making sure they do find out. I'll show you that at the end of the chapter in a couple weeks. But that was Proverbs 10:18. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 16. Proverbs 13, 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, right? Good knowledge. But a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. I'm pointing out to you how you can spot a fool with their mouth so you can get away from them. You know why? They will destroy you. If somebody is a prater, if somebody's clamorous, if somebody's a slanderer, and they're bringing that to you, let me guarantee you something. It's a guarantee. I'm not a betting man, but $100. Okay, I'm not going to bet. But I'm just saying, if I was, I would. They will go and slander you. If they come to you to slander others, they will go to others and slander you. Why? Because it's their nature. They are a fool. I know I'm stepping on toes tonight, but I didn't write it. It cuts me before it cuts you. And if I'm coming across arrogant, I'm sorry. I'm preaching. I'm teachy-preachy right now. You know, I'm not really preaching, but I'm teaching. I'm not being arrogant about it. I got the wounds, man. They're between me and the Lord. I dealt with them in my prayer closet. So don't get all hypersensitive on me. But the fact of the matter is that when they come to you to slander, they will go from you and slander you to somebody else. I don't care if they're your best friend. Because their nature and their character is they've got to run their big mouth. They've got to always be saying something. And they've got to be talking about somebody. They just have to. You might have an addiction if you just can't get off social media. It's addictive. I know it's addictive. I had to break the addiction a few years ago. And I'm telling you, man, it wasn't easy because you just want to know. Can I tell you this? Once I got that thing behind me, I realized that I could breathe. I'm so much. I have seen some sunsets. You wouldn't believe it. The sun actually sets, and sometimes it's really beautiful. I have seen some sunrises. It comes up in the morning. I know you can't see it. Most of the time from your phone, you see it on your weather app. That's all you see is a little thing there, and it goes, and you're like, oh, look at the sunset. But the real sun actually comes up in the morning. I've actually gotten to talk to my wife because we both are not the same person we were 17 years ago. So it's an ongoing thing to stay in touch. And when I'm in touch with everybody else, I ain't in touch with her. And my kids are over there raising themselves in my house, and I got no idea where they're at, what's going on in their head, what's going on in their heart, what their personality quirks and kinks and needs are. Because I'm tied into a foolish world and so wound up in it that the fools are dragging me down. And I don't look. I said it before. I'm going to get you again with it because I know it's true. They're getting in the way of me and him. because I get up in the morning and I open my Bible to read it and my smartphone's sitting there. I like to say my stupid smartphone. And you know what? Before I get through 2, 3, 4, 5 chapters, especially if I'm in Numbers or Chronicles, folks, come on. And then there goes my time with the Lord. Fools will drag you down. You won't pull them up. Let me give you one more. Two more. Proverbs 15:2. I'm going to touch them and go. We're not going to be long. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. There's a right way and a wrong way to use knowledge. A wise person uses it to help you. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. That's Ecclesiastes 1, 2, or 3, whatever that verse was, where he comes right, that he tells you, the fool tells you he's a fool. He doesn't have to say, I'm a fool, I'm a fool, I'm a fool, like the court jester in the movies, you know. He'll tell you he's a fool. How? It'll just pour out of his mouth, and you'll know after about 10 seconds of conversation, this dude needs Jesus. Amen. I'm trying to be nice. You'll know quick. Last verse, Proverbs 16:22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. Pause button real quick. Do you guys realize how much, some of you older folks do, how much there is to life? There is so much more to life than just getting up and sucking oxygen and wolfing down food and going back to bed. Relationships. Anybody have any tragically destroyed relationships? Don't raise your hand because the whole room's hand. I know. How about our children? There's a lot to life. Can I tell you something? Understanding is a wellspring. That thing keeps coming up and 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 coming up from something deep way down under the earth that's cool and refreshing and helpful. You got anybody on a well? Who's on a well? We're on a well. Okay. With my well, I get cleaned up when I'm dirty. My dishes get cleaned up when they're dirty. My body gets hydrated when I'm dehydrated. My lawn gets watered when it's dry. That's what I want. Give me that wellspring. You guys, that's what God wants to give us in this book. It'll help you now and it'll help you later, no matter how bad the mess. God can clean it. If no messes have been made, get that stinking wellspring going before you make the mess. Why? Because you got phases of life to go through. When you're old and gray-headed and you got grandchildren, you still need a wellspring from God to know how to reach them and help them and influence people at a point in your life when they're all going to want to just write you off. You're old and you're done. God will give you the wisdom to get that heart and to make an influence in their life. Get a hold of this, folks. Get a hold of this, parents. Get a hold of this, young men. Get a hold of this, everybody in the room. Get a hold of this. Now, last part, and I'm done. 16:22, but the instruction of fools is folly. Please hear me. I'm not trying to be rude to anybody, but I really want to be, in fact, I would love to be preaching, stomping, and pounding right now, but it ain't Sunday morning. I'm trying to give your poor headaches and tired bodies a rest. Listen, be careful who you take your advice from. It is in people's nature to want to influence you. What it does is this. If I'm coming up to Matt, and I'm like, Matt, when you go over there to Lincoln Park or wherever you're going this week, to East Side or wherever you're at, and you got that bathroom in that house from the 1800s, here's what you need to do. Right response, thank you. If I'm trying to tell Matt how to do his work, I'm a fool. But if I've done a little bit of work, because I remodeled my house, I mean, my Brighton house, I did a bunch of stuff. So now I did it, and it was successful, and we sold it, and, you know, I know it all. So I'm here to instruct Matt. You know what I'm doing? I'm making myself feel really good about the fact that I'm over him. People come to you, I just want to give you some advice. Oh, what you need to do is, well, let me tell you something. And you need to kind of step back for a minute and go, wait a minute, who am I taking my advice from? Because fools want to instruct you. And folks, you are getting flooded in this world by foolish information that will wreck your life. Now listen, there's nothing that the devil can do and you can do that God can't fix. That's how awesome he is when you give yourself to him. He's awesome. We got some train wrecks in this room that look pretty good now. Amen. Can I get a... Come on, be humble. Say amen. That's God. But listen, you know what the world is full of? Foolish instruction. Be careful. Who wants to become your marriage counselor? Be careful who it is that's going to give you dating advice. Be careful who it is that's going to tell you about, you know, how to raise your kids. Be careful when people always want to give you advice and make you their boy to format you to themselves. You know what it does? It justifies their own decisions. And if you're a fool, you'll take instruction from anybody that'll give you attention. And that's just about as foolish as it can get. When you got a wellspring from God Almighty that'll help you with every decision. The problem is your heart. Because a lot of times the counsel and advice you get is not going to be what you wanted to hear. And then when you make that decision to go left instead of go right, you show that you're a fool. Let's ask God if there's any dead flies in our lives, and if he showed you some tonight, get them out. We got three more to look at over the next couple of weeks. Let's go ahead and be dismissed.